Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. We begin our program today with a report on the popularity of the social media platform Twitter in Johannesburg. The South African city leads the continent of Africa in Twitter usage. A new study shows that Johannesburg averages one tweet every 13 seconds. The public relations company Portland Communications carried out the study called How Africa Tweets. It gathered information about geotagged tweets from October to December of 2013. A geotag records position information of a tweet. The study shows that over 600,000 geotagged tweets were posted during the 3 months. Alan Kamau leads the Nairobi office for Portland Communications. He says it is no surprise that Johannesburg leads Africa in Twitter use. South Africa has the highest smartphone usage of any country in Africa.
Also, Egypt featured highly. Cairo, Alexandria, other top cities in terms of active tweeting. Moving to East Africa, Nairobi is the most active, not surprising. It's sixth most active on the continent.
Mr. Kamau says geotagged tweets do not represent the total number of tweets from each city. But he says they do provide a dependable estimate of Twitter usage.
It should be a broad indicator of, you know, the trends within the Twitter sphere. It's representative enough for it to be a broad kind of indicator of Twitter activity, trends in terms of how people are using it.
The company did its first Twitter study in 2012. Mr. Kamau says the largest change he has seen is in how Twitter is being used.
In terms of topics, one of the shifts that we've seen is, you know, when we looked at our survey in 2012, that it was very much social conversations online. We're seeing much more corporate, so many more companies having a presence online. So brands having a greater share of voice, being more active, engaging consumers directly.
He says consumers are now using Twitter to discuss faulty products or bad service.
It's a much more public place, and also it's a direct channel. You know, it's a direct and public channel to complain, and people organize very well, as you know, on social media.
Mr. Kamau says companies, organizations, and even sports teams now value Twitter as a great resource for social involvement. The leading topic of Twitter across Africa is football, a sport known in the U.S. as soccer.
Africans love football, are very passionate about their football teams, and, you know, Twitter provides a platform, again, for fans to get behind their team. So, you know, the most mentioned football team is Johannesburg's Orlando Pirates, and I think, you know, it's just a fantastic platform for that kind of thing.
Mickey Modisani is the public relations director for the Orlando Pirates. He says the team's Twitter account has 145,000 followers. He says he is excited about his team's Twitter popularity. You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English.
The looks are the smile. Your eyes.
If you walked anywhere today, you probably did not think much about it. But millions of people around the world are not able to walk, not even one step. A new wearable robot may someday change that. June Sims has the report.
Men in wheelchairs have come to play basketball. Bob Emilio leads a team called the Freewheelers. They have gathered here often, but this time is different. Today, they have come to see Bob do something he has not done in 26 years, walk. Bob's physical therapists at Good Shepherd Rehabilitation Center are measuring him. They are getting him ready for a new high-tech suit that will lift him out of his wheelchair and tell his legs to move. The suit is a wearable robot known as an exobionic exoskeleton. People who are between 150 and 190 centimeters tall and weigh 100 kilograms or less may be able to use the device. When the therapist pushes the button, the exo pushes Bob forward and up. Then, motors powered by batteries act as muscles, forcing his legs to move. Russ Angold is the co-creator of Exobionics.
They still bear their own weight on their bone structure. The exo just provides the support and the ability to move.
Kevin Ault already uses the suit. He says it brings more than physical changes.
When you put hope into somebody that lost hope, it changes their whole way of living and life, 100%. That word hope is a powerful word.
Bob Emilio says standing is much better than sitting.
When you're sitting down, people are looking down at you, and you got to look up, and a lot of times you don't hear real well when you're down sitting down. So it's very important to be that you can be eye to eye.
Oh, wow.
You feel okay?
Great.
That is Bob's service dog, Bear. He has never seen him stand before, and he is a little worried. Within 3 minutes of putting on the suit, Bob Emilio is walking.
One, two, three. Bring the walker forward.
Yeah!
I forgot how tall I was.
The company says everyone who has been given their doctor's permission and is healthy has walked the first time they have tried the device. An experienced user can move from their wheelchair and put the skeleton on in less than 5 minutes. The therapists see that Bob's legs are trying to move on their own before being led to do so by the exosuit. They say this is surprising for his first day. Bob's wife Pam gives him a kiss in celebration.
Oh, fantastic.
Bob Emilio dreams of walking his daughter Trish down the aisle at her wedding. He shows Trish a video of his first walk. Bob Emilio is looking forward to his next walk with his daughter on her wedding day.
So it's gonna happen?
It's definitely gonna happen.
Okay.
He's gonna walk down the aisle.
He's gonna walk down the aisle?
Yeah.
I'm June Sims.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
The VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories. Today, I will tell about expressions using numbers. Let us start with the number 1. Numbers can be tricky. On the one hand, they are simply numbers. On the other hand, they have meanings. I, for one, use these expressions a lot. Many people consider themselves number 1, the most important person. They are always looking out for number 1 and taking care of number 1. It is as if they are the one and only person on earth. Some people, however, are not so self-centered. My brother is such a person. It is true. No joke. I am not trying to pull a fast one on you. First, you have to understand that my brother is one in a million. He is such a nice person. All his friends like him. They consider him one of the boys. Recently, my brother had a bad day at the office. It was just one of those days. Nothing went right. So he stopped at a local bar, a drinking place, after leaving work. My brother planned to have a glass of beer with his friends, a quick one, before he went home. But a quick one turned into one or two, and soon those became one too many. As my brother was leaving, he ordered a last drink, one for the road. His friends became concerned. One by one, they asked him if he was able to drive home safely. Now, my brother is a wise and calm person. He is at one with himself. He recognizes when he has had too much alcohol to drink. So he accepted an offer for a ride home from a female friend. At one time in the past, my brother had been in love with this woman. She is a great person, kind, thoughtful, and intelligent, all good qualities rolled up into one. But sadly, their relationship did not work. He always used to say, "One of these days, I am going to marry this girl." But that never happened. For one thing, she did not love him as much as he loved her. It was just one of those things. The situation was regrettable, and my brother had to accept it. But even now, he considers her the one that got away. However, they are still friends, and because my brother had been kind to her, she felt that one good turn deserves another. He was good to her, and she wanted to help him in return. So she drove him home. If my brother had driven home from the bar that night, his number would have been up. Something bad would have happened. Thankfully, he made it home safely, and he and the woman are back to square one. They are back to where they started, being friends.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one.
This VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories, was written by Jill Moss. I'm Faith Lapidus.
I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Shirley Griffith. With the VOA Special English Program, People in America.
Today, we tell about pianist John Lewis. He created one of the most famous jazz groups in America, the Modern Jazz Quartet.
John Lewis was known for his creativity. He was a skilled piano player and musical director of the Modern Jazz Quartet for almost 50 years. He wrote and arranged all the music for the small group. Mr. Lewis was responsible for the group's sound and its identity. John Lewis was interested in jazz, blues, and bebop, a music with a great deal of energy. Yet he was also greatly influenced by his training in European classical music. Classical music is expressive and intense, but it is also structured. He thought jazz should be presented the same way. John Lewis combined classical music with traditional jazz to create songs for himself and the three other members of his quartet. He believed music should be simple and clear, yet played in a meaningful way. Here is one of the Modern Jazz Quartet's big hits, Django.
John Lewis was greatly influenced by the piano style of the famous jazz band leader Count Basie. Like Basie, Lewis believed in making every note of music count. He depended as much on silence as he did on notes to get his message across. John Lewis often used a form of music called fugue. Fugue is a series of opposing melodies used to create a complex effect. Mr. Lewis also combined written music with music that the group invented as it went along. This new kind of jazz attracted both lovers of jazz and classical music. It also appealed to people who did not necessarily like jazz. Here is an example of fugue in the song Alexander's Fugue.
Thank you. The Modern Jazz Quartet included John Lewis, Milt Jackson, Percy Heath, and Connie Kay. The group made its first recording in 1952, and they continued to play together with a 7-year break until 1999. John Lewis was as concerned about appearances as he was about the music. The musicians had to dress well for every performance. They played mostly in concert halls instead of small jazz clubs. Lewis believed jazz should receive the same respect as classical music.
John Lewis was born in LaGrange, Illinois in 1920. He grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He started playing the piano when he was 7. As a teenager, he played professionally in churches around Albuquerque. He soon was playing in local dance halls. Lewis studied anthropology and music at the University of New Mexico. In 1942, he joined the Army and served in Europe during World War II. After the war, Lewis moved to New York City and played in Dizzy Gillespie's big band. He also studied for his master's degree at the Manhattan School of Music.
John Lewis played in the rhythm section of Gillespie's band. Other members were drummer Kenny Clark, bass player Ray Brown, and vibraphone player Milt Jackson. The four often performed together while the horn players in the band rested. The four band members continued to work together after leaving Dizzy's group in the late 1940s. At that time, they were criticized for not playing true jazz, but they continued anyway. Ray Brown and Kenny Clark soon left the group. Bass player Percy Heath and drummer Connie Kay replaced them. In 1952, the group became the Modern Jazz Quartet and established its own identity.
In 1956, the Modern Jazz Quartet played a series of concerts in Europe. The group helped make jazz popular with many music listeners in Europe. The members of the quartet had become major stars by the time they returned to the United States. The Modern Jazz Quartet continued to perform all over the world for sold-out crowds until the late 1970s. People loved the group's teamwork and their amazing sound. Listen as we play Vendôme, another big hit.
Critics say John Lewis's Less is More piano style and Milt Jackson's energy on the vibraphone were the secret to the group's long-lasting success. Yet, over the years, Mr. Jackson expressed dissatisfaction with limits that were put on his talents. The group separated in 1974. However, the members of the quartet reunited after 7 years. They played together until Milt Jackson's death in 1999. In addition to his work with the Modern Jazz Quartet, John Lewis worked for many years as musical director of the Monterey Jazz Festival in California. He wrote the music for several Hollywood films. He taught at Harvard University and the City College of New York, and he helped establish a jazz school in Massachusetts.
Through the years, John Lewis worked with some of the biggest names in jazz, including trumpet player Miles Davis. Yet, for all the praise Lewis received, he was known for putting the interests of the group over the individual. John Lewis lived a quiet life with his wife, Mirjana, in New York City. In March 2001, he died of cancer. He was 80 years old. His death officially marked the end of a historic period in modern jazz.
This special English program was written and produced by Cynthia Kirk. Our audio engineer was Roy Benson. I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Shirley Griffith. Listen again next week for another People in America program on the Voice of America.